Good morning. Let's join together in the call to worship that can be found in your bulletin or on the screen in front of you. Come, all you people, come and worship.
God has made a covenant with us.
Come, all creatures of the earth, come and worship.
God has made a covenant with all creatures.
Remember the covenant and be thankful. Amen. Let's stand and join together in singing hymn number 89, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Let's stand and sing.
Standing as we recite the Apostles' Creed, which can be found on page 881 in your hymnal or on the screens in front of you. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mother, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. Scripture this morning is from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God."
If the ushers will come forward. And as you as a congregation, will you join me in our offertory prayer, which can be found in your bulletin or on the screens in front of you. God Almighty, we rejoice in your constant faithfulness. You established your eternal covenant with your people Israel. Through the ministry of your Son Jesus, you welcomed all who trust you into your extended family. Just as with Abraham and Sarah, you gave us a new name in baptism, a beloved child of God. Empower us by your Spirit to live as generous people who share freely. May we tell younger generations of your goodness and serve your purpose in the world. As a covenant people, we dedicate our tithes and offerings through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
As we remain standing, let's join together in singing hymn number 73, O Worship the King. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5.
As we begin a time of prayer this morning, I would like to remind you about those prayer concerns that have been sent out via email this week, as well as the ones that you can find on the back of your bulletin. I hope that you take this bulletin home, and I hope you put it on your refrigerator or put it beside your bed or somewhere where you can remember to see these names and to pray for these persons that are a part of our family and our extended family. As we go to God in prayer this morning, I'll invite you into a moment of silence where you can pray to God the joys and the concerns of your own hearts. Let's go to God in prayer. God, in the beauty of this place called Rehoboth, we have come to pray, to worship, to receive healing and hope. We come from the struggles and the triumphs of the week, needing to feel the soothing presence. Lord, be with us this day. Calm and soothe our souls. Cause us to rejoice that you have provided a special place where we may gather to talk of your presence and your love, to sing your praises, and to be empowered to go forth and serve you. Where has the time gone, O Lord? It seems as though we just got started with summer, having all of these plans for rest and recreation, for leisure and celebration, and suddenly we have found ourselves at the end. We know as we begin to focus more closely on our planners and our calendars that time fills up fast with duties and meetings and obligations. It's easy for us to get lost and to neglect our commitment to you. You have girded us for this journey, giving us tools of faith. Your beloved Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, has poured out blessings upon blessings in his teachings that we might be made whole and be in good and faithful service to you by serving your world. Open our hearts and spirits, Lord, to faithful ministries in which we may take part. Let us take the extra steps into the wondrous mission to which we have been called. Heal, restore, and prepare us for this service. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'm reading this morning from the New English Version and Translation from Matthew 26. During supper, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples with these words, "Take this and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and having offered thanks to God, he gave it to them with these words, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, never again shall I drink from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father." After singing the Passover hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Both scriptures we've read today is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Before we begin with the sermon today, I will need your prayers on Tuesday, as I have a same-day procedure on my sinuses, and I will be out for the rest of the week. And I say thanks be to God for that. Casey will be preaching next week, so you'll hear a better sermon next week. And Alan Weller, our dear friend, who is a retired elder, a member of our congregation, will be here for any pastoral care emergency. So you will be in great hands while I'll be out. I covet your prayers for that time. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, you have been here in our service through the lighting of candles, through singing of hymns and the anthem, through the giving of our tithes and offering, through our prayers, through the reading of your scripture, through the shaking of hands and the greeting of friends and family, through the guests who have come and honored us with their presence. And so now, Lord, we ask that you be present as we think about the words that we've heard in Scripture. Use me, God, and if not me, sit me down and raise up the one who has your word for us today. Lord, let us fall in love with you, deepen our commitment to you. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice, that we may leave here today having experienced your Spirit, not just for ourselves, but that we may go and share that with someone else. Fill us up, Lord. Fill our cup to overflowing. And let the church say, amen. Today we continue in our journey in our series called The Story, where we find within Scripture the story of God and the story of us. And if you were here Friday night, you learned that's how we spread the great good news, is by sharing the story. Today we're going to look at covenant, that special relationship that God has been calling us into since the very beginning. In our first scripture, we heard just a brief account of that story of Abram to Abraham, that story of an old man who took a faith step to leave his home, his family, to go out to a place he did not know, and God made a covenant with him. And that covenant had two parts. God promised him a land that Abraham would never see for a home, and he promised him offspring. Now, how many of us on this side, I'm going to talk to this side, these folks right here, if God came to you and said, hey, you're going to have a kid. Yeah, that would be a kick in the pants, wouldn't it? Here you are, 75 years old, and God says, oh, by the way, you get to get up at night again and feed a baby. Wouldn't that be real joyful? Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God. Yeah, right. But that's what happened. Abraham and Sarah gets a promise, and then they get to wait 25 years. So you don't even get to have the kid at 75. You're 100 years old. Boy, howdy. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God, at 100. We're going to get up and change diapers. Yippee. And God said, not only am I going to give you a home that you're never going to see, you realize that Abraham never got to see the promised land. And I'm going to give you an offspring, but I'm going to create from you an entire nation that is going to bless all nations. And God makes this covenant, this sacred promise. And God keeps that promise. It takes some time. That doesn't sit well with me, because when God makes a promise to me, I want it like yesterday. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm not very good on that patience thing. And the next covenant we read about in Scripture is the one that God makes with Moses after taking this nation out of bondage and takes them to this mountain. And God gives them this covenant of the 10 great words. And this covenant is all about how to relate to each other. It's about relationships. And the first four words talk about how to relate to God, how to honor God, how to praise God, how to worship God, and how to realize that God is the Almighty. How to worship this God. And the other six words talk about how to relate to each other. And it's all about law, and it's a book of law, really, that then the people of Israel go on to make other kinds of laws, like 600 other laws from. Isn't it just like us? We take 10 words, we'll make 600 laws from. But it's all about relationship, how we should be with each other, how we shouldn't steal from each other, and how we shouldn't covet from each other, and how we shouldn't murder, but how we should honor each other, since we are God's people. And this is another covenant that we keep. And it's about how to take this nation and organize our life together. Okay, so God forms a nation in the Abraham covenant, and the Moses covenant is how to organize our life together. And then we're ready to go to the promised land. We go to the promised land, and then all heck breaks loose. We're okay for a while, and then we start fighting and you know, gossiping. Y'all know that one, right? Some of y'all are going to start doing that as soon as you get in the parking lot, but hey. And then we get in exile again. You know, people overrun the children of Israel. And while in exile, there's the new covenant. We find this in the book of Jeremiah, particularly Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. And it says this: "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them." Realizing prior to this, the law was written in these books, this corpus. "I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall know me from the least to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity," and I love this line, "and remember their sin no more." The new covenant. God is not requiring that we teach each other, because God will be in our hearts, within us. And God will remember our sin no more. God comes from outside to inside us. God becomes very personable at this point. This is profound grace. Did you not hear that? That God pours grace upon us. Many people don't think there's grace in the Old Testament, but here is an explicit expression of grace. That God becomes real and intimate with us in this covenant found in Jeremiah. Then we move forward to the scripture that Jan read, the Jesus covenant, where Jesus has come to fulfill all the covenants. All the gospel writers tell us that Jesus came so that all the law and the prophets and all the covenants may be fulfilled. That God put on flesh and bones, as John says, and walked among us and completes what Jeremiah has said. And Christ brings a covenant not just to the people of Israel, but to who? All people. All people. Not just some people. What did John say in that wonderful verse in chapter 3? For God so loved the world. Not just Methodists. Not just Southerners. Yeah, I hate to tell you this, God loved the Northerners too. Yeah, I know, it's hard for us to believe. But God loved everybody. Everyone that God ever made, everyone that God will make. God came so that all people may experience in a profound way this covenant of grace, this covenant of love, that all people may grow to the fullness of this love, this covenant that can wash over us and includes all of us. I mean, that is profound, is it not? That is life-changing. That means that hate is not necessary. That means that prejudice has no place. And it also means that there is a very real responsibility for us to proclaim that and how we perceive the world and how we conduct ourselves. It also means that we are grateful for the love of Christ. I am so grateful that Christ loves me in spite of me, because I am a heathen. Please do not say amen. I can be the most unlovable person in the world, and I bet there's others in here that can be that way too. Yet, in spite of that, God continues to love me. I can run from the mercy of God, and yet God continues to call to me and run after me. And I should be grateful that God doesn't give up on me. And I should respond in gratitude to that continual call of grace by turning toward that grace and offering grace to those around me. And another way I should respond to that grace is I should be willing to tell others. My life was this way. Those who were here Friday night, you're going to hear this again. My life was this way. I met this man from Galilee, and now my life is this way. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. If we don't tell our story, how will the gospel spread? And I don't mean pick up your Bible and go stand on the corner. I mean, tell it to people by listening to people. I don't mean go to a foreign country unless you're called to do that. I mean, who is the one person right now that God's putting on your heart that maybe you just need to listen to? You know, there's a reason God gave you two ears and one mouth, right? Who is it you need to go have a cup of coffee with and just say, I want to know more about what's going on with you? And it doesn't even have to be a family member, because I know that can get kind of crazy, right? But who is it you need to go listen to? Just listen to. We're not expected to keep the story of grace to ourselves. We're expected to tell it. Much like the 10 lepers who were cleansed and they went and told. And in the passage that Jan read, where Christ held up the bread and the cup, every time we have communion, we are sent from the table to become the broken bread and the poured out wine to the world. Our world needs to hear that story. They need to know that there is a Savior who wants to listen, whose body was broken, whose blood was spilled, so that they don't have to live in darkness anymore. And all we have to do is listen. And that's what covenant is about. We listen so that they know that God listens. We love so that they know that God loves. We offer grace so that they know that God offers grace. You know what I say about that? Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is number 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed. If you like, our altar is open to come pray. Let's stand and sing together.
Wrought peace.
Please remain standing and receive this benediction. May you, my brothers and sisters, know that you have been invited into the new covenant, the one that is written on your heart. And may you do well this week to go and to listen and respond from our heart. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. As our congregational benediction, let's join together in singing the first verse of hymn number 2130 in the faith we sing, The Summons.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Even though you don't know and never be the same. Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my faith be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you?
Go in peace.